Let's all stand and begin our worship service today by singing hymn number 202. Let's all stand, please. Be seated, Brother Kenny.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Happy New Year to you on this beautiful first Sunday of 2020. I appreciate you being here. If you are here with us today and you're visiting for the first time or for the first time in a long time, thank you. We appreciate you being here. We hope and pray that your experience today will be very positive, that you'll have an up-close and personal worship experience with the Lord. There is in your bulletin a connection card, looks like this, maybe a different color on there. We'd love to have some information from you. On the back, there's an opportunity there for you to place prayer requests and concerns that you might have, and we'd be happy to pray over those for you. I thank you so much. I pray that this will be an awesome, an outstanding year in the life of Lena Vista Baptist Church, and as we worship today, I just pray that the Lord would speak up close and personal to you. Thank you so much for being here. Roxy, I think you have something.
Morning. I'm here to offer another advertisement for Sunday school. The next class that will be starting for the women is on January 19th. We're going to be studying the book of Proverbs. You'll each have, when you come to Sunday school, you'll have a booklet that will be worked through. Now, the book of Proverbs, you know that it's sort of right in the middle of the Bible, right after Psalm. But it gives you a lot of things about, it's a collection of sayings that help you in your daily Christian life. It helps you to know the art of skillful living for God. And it helps you to know, okay, we just need to study the Bible and then know the scriptures and we'll be able to live for God. It helps us to understand how to live the practical daily life in everything that you do and in your relationships. So I think you would really like this. If you don't come to Sunday school right now and you don't have a class that you go to, and if you're a woman, let's say that, you are welcome to come to this. Sunday school starts at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. We have room for nine people in the class. And so if you would like to come, please see me or you can see Sandra DeYounger. She's going to be the one that will be teaching that class, and I think you would really, really get a lot of wisdom out of it. Proverbs is one of the wisdom books, and so I think you would really enjoy studying that. So that's just a plug for Sunday school. Please come if you'd like to study Proverbs.
Let's go to word and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Brand new year, Lord, for each and every one of us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, we lift you up as our Savior, Lord, what you do for us, the many blessings you put upon us each day, Lord. Be with Brother Kenny this morning, Lord, as he gives a message. And Lord, be with our choir too and Mark too as a song leader. Lord, everything we say and do here is to honor and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let's all stand if we can. We can't sit down and sing this song. So let's all stand. Turn this on for me, Paul, will you please?
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. In thought of me above all, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took a fall and you thought of me above all.
Let's remain standing. Brother Dale.
Thank you, Father, for thanking you of us. And Father, now it will come time for us to think of you and just try to spread your glory, Father. And
Father, just take a portion of what you've given us to give back to you. Father, we give all this in your name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's all stand again and sing hymn number 337, I Know Whom I Have Believed In. Everybody stand, please.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own.
Sing out now.
But I know I am believed in and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day.
On the second verse. Seated, and as you can tell, Randy's going to sing before Brother Kenny's message.
This is a new song by Lauren Diego. She's put out. People don't know her, but she's a new Christian artist. I've done a couple of them before. This is one I think you heard. It's got a little bit of a rhythm to it, but I think you'll like it. It's got good words. It's called "Look Up."
Where are you now when the darkness seems to win? And where are you now when their worth is crumbling? I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child. Hey. And where are you now?
Where are you now?
When all I feel is doubt.
Oh, oh.
And where are you now?
Oh, oh,
when
oh,
I can't figure it out.
Oh,
oh. Look up, child. Hear you say, look up, child.
Ooh,
hey, hey, 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 look up, child.
I hear you call my name, Lord. I hear you call my name, and I know you're in control. Look up, child. Hey, hey, 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 look up.
All right. Better than looking down, right, Randy? Amen. Look up. If you brought a Bible with you today, won't be hard to follow along. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Put your finger on verse 23. First Corinthians 7:23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so very much for the privilege of worship today. And thank you, Lord, for the singing, for the fellowship, for the prayer, for the privilege that we have to be your children, to meet, Lord, in your church. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, up close and personal today. Lord, I ask you for clarity. Lord, I ask you for the ability to communicate that which you have given me today. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person in this building today. They are here, Lord, not by coincidence, Lord, but by divine appointment. And I pray, Father, that as we engage in worship today, that you would indeed speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Lord, I personally thank you for a wonderful 2019. And Father, as we look toward this new year, I pray, Father, that we would reach heights that we've never known before, that we'd be able to do things that we've never been able to do until this year. Father, speak to us and let us know. Give us wisdom and guidance and discernment to be all that you would want us to be. And we certainly give you the glory. And we love you and appreciate you, Father, for all that you are and for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a Sunday night after the PM service, and I was walking to my truck, having enjoyed thoroughly the youth ensemble that had led us in worship on that particular Sunday night. There was drums and there was a guitar and there was a keyboard and there was several of our students, high school and college related as well, who led us in that worship. And as I approached my truck, I heard footsteps, and I turned around, and I looked into the eyes of a longtime friend of mine, and there was a level of disappointment on his face, and he looked at me right in my eyes, and he said, "What are they doing to my church?" And I froze. Because it was something that I had not expected. I was surprised, to say the least, and I was disappointed because of the tone of voice. I had loved greatly and greatly respected this particular person who asked that question. He was a longtime faithful servant in the house of the Lord, a teacher, a friend, a person who I had tremendous respect for, someone who had loved the Lord and continued to love the Lord and the church. And I don't know, honestly, if I was unable or unwilling to respond at that particular moment because there was really nothing that came to my mind about what I could say or should maybe have said. And if you know me very well, timing is really, really important to me about when to say things and how to say things. And trust me, I had no wisdom at that particular point, and I had no real desire or no feeling that I should say anything at all, so I remained silent. And as I got in the truck with my wife and we began to head home, I couldn't get that off of my mind. I remember thinking to myself, what on earth could possibly have triggered that kind of response? And I thought about it more and more and more. And as I got home, it became clear to me that what threw me so far off course was the two final words in his question. My church. What are they doing to my church? And it was troubling. And I don't mind telling you, it was troubling. You see, the word my is my English is off. I think it's a possessive pronoun. I don't know if you English majors out there, is that correct, Sue, Linda? Okay. And it denotes ownership, okay? My house, my car, my money, my life, denotes ownership. And the longer I thought about that, the more it bothered me. So the message that I have the privilege to share with you today is a message that God gave me from a moment of divine appointment that was all wrapped up in a certain level of discomfort for me. So, for several days afterward, I rehearsed those words in my own ears. And I began to have different kind of emotions. You know, does he really think that that's his church? Why would he feel that way? Yeah, he's been there a long, long time. And he'd served faithfully even as a deacon. He'd tithed faithfully. Probably over 50 years or plus or more, thousands of dollars had gone into the offering plate from his resources. And yeah, he loved that family with every fiber of his being. And it was obvious because his faithfulness demonstrated how much he cared about God and his folks. But he needed to know that it wasn't his church. And I didn't know how to say it. And I don't mind telling you, it bothered me a great deal. I've waited a long time to share this with you all. And I want you to hear my heart, not just my voice, because it's personal and it's very, very, very important that you hear me this morning. More important that you hear the Holy Spirit make the Word of God real to you today. I struggle with it. I did. I struggle with it. The conviction came to me that I should study it. So it basically drove me into my study whether I wanted to be there or not. And what I want to share with you this morning is the result of some very, very uncomfortable moments. Yeah, preachers have them too. Sometimes you get in the study and you open the Word of God and it's very, very, very pointed and very, very real. If you've ever taught, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever studied. So that moment for me was a divine appointment in the study and the prayer and the understanding that I sought that followed literally changed my life for the better. I'm a better person today because of that one sentence. Would have never counted on it would have never figured it out. So my prayer is that this moment for you and I today will be a real divine appointment, that you'll hear me out and understand that what I'm sharing with you comes from a heart of love. It does not come from judgment in any way, form, or fashion. So please, 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 please hear me out. There's three parts to the message if time permits us. First of all, I would like for you to flip over to 1 Corinthians. You're already there. Look back at chapter 6. I want you to put your fingers on verses 19 and 20 of chapter 6. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and he is very pointed. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I need you to understand that the word glorify is not a suggestion. It is an imperative in the Greek, which is a command. It's not optional. It's not something that we attach to our normal service. It is what our normal service is supposed to look like. So what is Paul saying to the church at Corinth? The Holy Spirit is in me and you because of the work of God, that I've been bought with a price, and what a price, the crucified Jesus Christ, the blood of the crucified Lord. So let me ask you something. If you buy something, who owns it? You do, right? You go down to the store, you put the money out for a loaf of bread. Who owns that loaf of bread? You do. Who gets to decide what that loaf of bread does at your house? You do. Why is that? Because you own it. It belongs to you. You paid the price for it. Randy, you don't have to point it. Don't be pointing at Pat. I'm just telling you, there's no future in that. But think about it for just a minute. So if Jesus Christ bought and paid for your life, and he did, guess what? It's not your life. It's his life, because he bought and paid for it. And as we know him as Christians, that means when I profess Christ as my Lord and Savior, who owns me? Christ owns me. It's no longer my life. I don't get a vote. You know, we're at the point where we're so interested in using that possessive pronoun. It's so hard for me to say because I don't know if, I guess I'm right. I'm trusting y'all. It's so hard to say. And as the weeks and the months went on and I began to study about this whole process, I thought, oh my gosh, I really don't belong to me. That's a sobering thought. So if he owns me because he bought me with his own shed blood, because I've confessed and profess him as my Lord and Savior, then now all of a sudden the choices that I make for my life, I need to clear that with my owner. Is it his will? Is what I'm doing pleasurable and worshipful? Am I giving him glory and honor and praise? Does he look at my life and see that it represents that I belong to him? 2 Corinthians, same church, same pastor, different words, same message. Verse 5, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 15. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So I am to live unto the Lord who died and rose again, so that I might have real life and that he might get the glory that he deserves. I am in every way, I am the personal property of Jesus Christ who paid the price for me. Would that not be biblical? Is that not what the Word of God says? So does it matter that I pay attention to that? Yeah, I think it does, because it changes every single thing. Every single thing. So now what I need to do, if I'm not my own, then the marching orders for my life would need to come from my owner, because he gets to decide what happens in my life, not me. You think, oh boy, preacher, you don't stop preaching now, going to meddling, but hang with me, okay? It changes everything. I was bought and paid for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, which I just read a minute ago, you're bought with a price. Be ye not servants of men. And that word is redeemed. By definition, this is so cool. By definition, the word redeemed means to deliver from sin and its penalties as by a sacrifice made for the sinner. It means to buy back, to set free by paying a ransom. And Peter says the same things basically in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or spot, not by valuable metals, but by his own life's blood. We were purchased. We belong to him. Mark chimes in and says basically the same thing. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. He paid for us with his life. So what application does that make? We've hinted about it already. What does this mean for you and I? It means I'm not my own, so I can't demand my selfishness to him because I don't belong to me. I no longer live for me. I live for Jesus, and that relationship is intended to color my thoughts, my actions, my attitudes. I'm supposed to be pleasing to Jesus, and that needs to be the question that I ask. Is, Lord, is the way that I'm living, the way that I'm thinking, the things that I do, what I profess to believe, is it pleasing to you? Am I that kind of possession that you could be proud of? Am I living the kind of life that would say, yes, I belong to my Lord and Savior, and I'm pleased to be that? Paul calls himself a slave. You and I don't have any idea what connection that makes to us, but we understand what he's talking about. If you want to get even more real, the reality of the whole matter is that I have never belonged to me. Flip over to your right to Ephesians chapter 2. It's only a few pages over to your right in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read 7 verses for you that's very powerful. Paul is now talking to the church at Ephesus, and he said these words, "And you hath he quickened," get this, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, and of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." And then the three of the most favorite verses in the entire New Testament. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, that's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me. Amen. Doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? I don't belong to me. I was either dead in my trespasses and sins before I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or I am now living in the family of God by virtue of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, which I have received him as my Lord and Savior, and the price paid for all of that had nothing at all to do with anything that I brought to the table, and everything to do with what he gave. And my friends, I'm going to boldly stand here and as honestly stand here as I know how, and to tell you there are no other options. You are either lost or you are saved. Amen. That's not popular today. And then we'll be like Reese's. Not sorry. You seen the commercial about the Reese's candy? Yeah. Not sorry. Not that I'm trying to be smart aleck, just telling you that this is what the Word of God says. Jesus purchased me. He set me free not to live a lifestyle of sin through the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. And I can't do that on my own whatsoever. And we as Christians, we don't get to say, well, you know what? I'm going to just do as I like. I'll do whatever I like whenever I like. I'm my own person. I'll choose how I'm going to go. I call the shots in my life, and you just need to leave me alone. Not how it works. The Bible's clear that freedom is not a license for you and I to do as we please. We are owned and purchased by Jesus Christ, and there comes expectations with that relationship. But that's a good thing. Living for Jesus, we can't think about, first of all, our rights. Have you ever known anybody to stand up and say, I demand my responsibilities now? You'll never hear that. But you will hear this. Oh, I demand my rights. I've got rights. As a Christian, my friend, the first thing we should think about is not our rights. The first thing we should think about is our responsibilities and our privileges that we have because of that relationship. Because there's little that you and I do that we suffer, that we alone suffer for. We afflict and infect others by our actions and our attitudes. So I would say, as the Word of God says, be very careful and remember who you belong to, because we represent Him. Our speech, our behavior, everything. It represents Jesus Christ. So I don't belong to me. And second of all, I think this is where this message was going from the very beginning. I think this is what struck a nerve in me standing in that parking lot. This is not my church. For months after that episode in the parking lot, I couldn't say that where my membership was my church. The word my wouldn't come out of my mouth. It blew me away. I couldn't handle it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Those were words that Paul spoke in his farewell to the Ephesian elders there. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen. Ye are God's building. The church belongs to God. Ephesians 5:23-29. Jesus is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. The church is subject to Christ. Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. The church is to be sanctified and cleansed, to be presented to Jesus without blemish. Christ nourished and cherished the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We should believe with godliness. There is indeed a way for which we are to behave in God's house. It's expected of us. It is commanded of us. And as I read those passages of Scripture in my study, it became perfectly clear to me, not only do I not belong to myself, but the church that I attend doesn't belong to me either. You say, what difference does that make? Why should that matter in the big picture? Well, the whole point being is when I say it's not my church, the reality of the moment is it's not yours either. If I don't own it, how is it that I have to think that I get to decide what it does and where it goes? It's never been my church. It'll never be my church. If I spend 100 years here, from day one until I draw my last breath, it's not my church. Because he bought it and paid for it. So what difference does that make, Pastor? Because it matters then how I treat you. And it matters how you treat me. You are my brothers and sisters. We share the same Father. We share the same Spirit. We share the same Savior. It's God's church. How we think, how we behave, how we worship has everything to do with whether or not I see it as being mine or his. Being the blood-bought body of Christ comes with some responsibility and accountability to God and to others, and I will reiterate this again. Folks, that is not optional. It is commanded of the Word of God. And as we talked about it briefly in Sunday school, if it is a commandment and we choose not to do it, the only way God can see that is it is a level of disobedience. If your dad or your mom told you something very specifically to do and you chose not to do that because they were the person in authority and you were the person under authority, if you did not do what you were told, is there any other way to see that other than disobedience? And disobedience is a sin, and sin comes with consequences. You see how it flows? And I struggled yesterday when I was finishing this up as to whether or not I should say to you this next two paragraphs, but I believe that if you understand my heart, you'll understand why I'm going to say it. You cannot, nor should you, expect to have everything your way, because it is not your church. We are to think of others, the Bible says, it's more important than ourselves. And friends, if it's about us, it cannot be about Him. It just can't. When we make church about what we want and why we want it, it cannot be about what He wants and what He expects. Philippians 2 is very clear that we're to have the mind of Christ. And we're to practice the same kind of grace and mercy to everyone, to all of our brothers and sisters, unto the Lord for His glory, for our growth. If we're divided as His church, we have nothing to say to a lost world. I know that might sound harsh, but when God's people cannot get along because we are too selfish to do that, tell me where our ministry goes. Nowhere. That's exactly right. Thank you, Linda. We will be understood as being careless. If them folks can't get along, why would I want to be part of that? I might get that at home. I might get that at my job. I might get that somewhere else. I don't expect that from my church. There I am again, my church. See how easy that is? So we got to be very, very careful how we exercise the power and the ministry and the authority that we've been given. Does our choices edify the body of Christ? Are we building the body of Christ, or are we tearing it down? If Jesus took a really close look at what was going on here, would He approve of it? Becomes a necessary question. God doesn't sell shares in the kingdom to the highest tither. Power doesn't belong to those who have been here the longest or who have given the most. If you've been here 50 years and you've given $100,000 in that 50 years, the position that you need to have is, God, thank you for how you have provided for me in my lifetime and how I can share. I've been in the middle of enough church fights to understand that I never want to see that here. If I can't speak the truth to you in love and appreciation, then you don't need me. But you've let me do that, and I love you for it. It's part of my responsibility to protect every single thing that God has given us as Lena Vista Baptist Church, to speak the truth as passionately and as honestly as I know how to speak it. And folks, if it's not in this book, pray for me that I never speak it to you if I can't back it up with chapter and verse. Some of the stuff we hear in here is discomforting. Some of those moments in our lives that are divine appointments rattle us right down to the very core of our being. And the Holy Spirit of God makes the Word of God real, and it shakes us to our core. And sometimes it's a really good thing, because God drives us back into His Word so that we would understand some things. I need to remember that you belong to Jesus Christ, not to me. And that dictates everything about how I'm supposed to treat you. And that matters a lot, because this word tells me clearly how I'm supposed to treat you as your pastor. And that's my desire. His commands and his desires for us are spelled out in his word. They need to be read. They need to be studied. They need to be applied. The Bible says we're to be holy and separate. We're to be unified in spirit and purpose. We're to be sanctified and clean. We are to be the church, his church. There ain't no room for rumors or gossip or division or unforgiveness or apathy or anything else that tears down the body of Christ or the ministry that we so desire to do. So what we really know for sure is that we need to know how to conduct the life that doesn't belong to us, and we need to know how to relate to the church that doesn't belong to us either. And the third part of this whole thing is it really shook me to the core as well. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 or chapter 13 if you want to flip over there. I'll read it for you. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. In other words, remember, imitate, consider. Verse 17 in the same chapter of Hebrews. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And there are many other passages of scripture there that talks about the pastor-church relationship. And the third point of my message, which may or may not fit well with you, is that I am not your pastor. I am his pastor with the privilege of being the under-shepherd to the sheep that God has allowed me to have the privilege to serve. So whether it looks that way, sounds that way, feels that way or not, I'm not yours, I'm his. And that matters. Jesus is the shepherd. I am the under-shepherd, and the people are the sheep. And the last time I checked, sheep don't get to tell the shepherd where to lead them. That probably don't fit well. But the analogy fits perfectly, doesn't it? Any more than I get to tell Jesus what to tell me to tell you, you don't get to tell me what to tell Jesus about what you want from me. That's about as confusing as a squirrel on the interstate, I know. God placed the shepherd in charge of the sheep, and he told him three very important things. Remember, the Christian church is a community of memory. We owe a lot to those who came before us, who paid a tremendous price for you and I to get to sit on the pews that we get to sit on and enjoy the air conditioning or the heater that runs to have the lights on to actually get a drink of water when we push the button. A lot of people paid a price for you and I to enjoy what we get to enjoy, and that matters. And we should remember how God has taken care of us, not only individually but corporately as his church. Imitate. I need to live in such a way that you would be willing to imitate me. I need to be responsible. I need to be accountable and so much more. I need to be worthy of imitation. And friends, that's a tall order, and I covet your prayers. I want to live as an example before you that if I never spoke you the truth, I would live the truth so that you would see it. And it says, consider those who have gone before and have laid down their lives for our faith, that was martyrs and others. Why obey? Why imitate? Why follow? Because the scripture is very clear. Because they watch for your souls. Vigilance, awareness, honesty. The word watch in the Greek means sleepless vigilance, because they're going to give an account to God for their actions. God is going to judge me for how I treat you. And rightfully so. But yeah, God's going to judge you for how you treat me. And rightfully so. So what's going to be the attitude of our accountability? One of two choices. Bible's very clear. You're either going to be a joy to be a pastor for, or you're going to be a nightmare. Just being real. Some of you are very easy to be a pastor too. Some of you maybe not so much. One thing I can say, and I say this from the bottom of my heart and as honestly as I know how, I love you so much. You have treated my wife and I like gold since we have been here. It's like you went back into the Word of God and you read those verses that said how you're supposed to treat a pastor. And you're doing it. And I love you for it. And she loves you for it. Do you realize how many good things we got going here, folks? Have you looked around a little bit? I love the commercial. Not very many of them, but I love this one on TV. Kids are screaming and hollering and life is getting crazy. And the wife walks over to the husband and she says three words. Just look around. And then the camera pans over and it's got pictures of their history as a family. When the kids are little, when they're married, when things look really beautiful. And all of the reminders of we're in the middle of the blessings that came from the love that we share. And I think as Paul is talking to the church here, he's very clear. You know, he's very clear. Make sure that you know. You know, make sure that you know how loved you are. Make sure that you know that you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus. Make sure that you know that the church doesn't belong to you, so we need to check with the owner before we make any decisions. And that pastor that stands up there and bores you to death every week, he don't belong to you, he belongs to Jesus. And thank you for treating me as such. It matters. So the questions are these. How shall we conduct the life that's not ours? How shall we relate to the church that's not ours? How shall we support the pastor that's not ours? And I believe the Bible helps us answer those questions, and we've talked about it a lot. In closing, I'm going to say this. We are bought with a price, and we're told to treat each other wonderfully. It's not optional, it's commanded. Since this is not my church, I need to ask what it is that Jesus would expect rather than what it is that I want. There's no room for selfishness on my part. I don't get what I want. I need to get what he wants, and that makes it different. And since this pastor belongs to God and not to me, I have a choice here to bring him either joy or grief as he serves the Lord in my behalf. He will answer for how he does it, so how will I treat him so that he will be able to minister with joy and not with grief? Folks, we got a marvelous, marvelous opportunity in 2020 to maybe do things that have never been done here before ever in a way that would bring glory to God and growth to us. Jesus died for us. He expects us to live for him and his glory as his church. Can we do that? Absolutely. Will we do that? Yet to be seen. Maybe you're here today and you have a decision that you need to make. Maybe listening to this, you would say to me, and it's honestly as you know how, Pastor, that all sounds well and good, but basically, I don't belong to him. Which in reality means, according to the scripture, that you belong to the enemy. I've heard it said over and over again. I'm not sure that's the only option. I mean, preacher, don't you understand that I'm a good husband? I'm a good wife. I'm a good father, mother, grandfather, grandmother. I'm a really good employee. I'm a good friend. I'm a good neighbor. I'm really a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Yes, it does. But not salvation. It don't count for salvation. Because if I could be good enough to be saved, then the cross that Jesus died on was the biggest mistake ever made in the history of mankind. If there's a plan B, the crucifixion of Jesus was the most horrendous mistake that was ever made in the history of the world. There is no plan B. You're either lost and Satan is your master, or you are saved and Jesus is your Savior. You can change that today if you're lost. You don't have to leave here that way. I would love to pray with you right down here, right there, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here, you need to join this church. Maybe you've been saved, but you need to be baptized. Maybe you just need some altar time. Maybe you need to start out 2020 in a way that you've never even thought about. Maybe the Spirit of God has taken the Word of God this morning and made it very real to you. You know, you're right. It ain't my life. It's not my church. And you're not my pastor. I had things messed up. Lord, help me to get it right, because I'm expecting some great things in 2020. I really am. I love you. I appreciate you. Far as I know, I will always love you and always appreciate you. And it is indeed my privilege to be your pastor. Let's do something off the chart in 2020. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for all you are and all that you do. We love you and appreciate the fact that you are our God, that Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior, and that Holy Spirit, you do what you do best. If there are levels of conviction here today, I pray that decisions would be made. You comfort us when we're right. You console us when we're hurting. But Lord, you also, through your Spirit, you convict us when we need to make necessary changes. May we live, Lord, knowing that we belong to you. And that makes all the difference. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 307, Just As I Am.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark one, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, a love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I hope and pray that the Spirit of God spoke up close and personal to you. Listen, for those of you who have been faithfully attending on Sunday night, I don't know about you, but I had a blast studying the book of Esther. And we finished it. It was very well attended by you. Well, there's another lady in there in the Bible that got a book written after her, and her name is Ruth. And we're going to start that tonight. Amen. So if you want to learn it, it's a wonderful, amazing short story. It's only got just a few chapters in it. But I want to invite you to come back at 6 o'clock, and we will get together, and we're going to go through the book of Ruth a verse at a time and celebrate the great truth that is in there. God is still on the throne, folks. Amen. Still in control. Don't care what it looks like around you, what the news says. God still has it, and he's in control. I love you. I thank you. There was one other thing I wanted to say.
Thank you so much for being so faithful in 2019. I look around me now, I see far less empty seats. We still got some room. So invite your neighbors and friends. Thank you so much. Mark?
I just want to remind everybody that we will have choir practice this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. For those of you that might be thinking about coming out, we've got plenty of room, so come on. And so we look forward to that. There will also be quartet and trio practice tomorrow at 6 p.m. And lastly, I just want to remind everybody that we still are looking for nursery workers, volunteers. So please, if you're capable, able, and ready, please see Sandra, because she definitely needs some help. Brother Carl, will you dismiss us, please?